Why don't we turn in our Bibles to Luke's Gospel, chapter 15. And then once you get there, we'll start in chapter 16. This morning, we're going to read the first 13 verses together. If you need a Bible, just raise your hands. One of the ushers, they'll bring a Bible right to you. So this morning we're going to be looking at verse 1, chapter 16, and then we'll just continue through until 13. I know I said that, but you'd be surprised how many times people don't hear it the first time, and the second time, and sometimes even the third time. Jesus said to his disciples. There was a certain rich man who had a steward, and an accusation was brought to him that this man was wasting his goods. So he called him and said to him, "What is this I hear about you? Give an account of your stewardship, for you can no longer be a steward." Then the steward said within himself, "What shall I do? For my master is taking the stewardship away from me. I cannot dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I have resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses." So he called every one of his master's debtors to him, and said to the first, "How much do you owe my master?" And he said, 100 measures of oil. So he said to him, "Take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, "And how much do you owe?" And so he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said to him, "Take your bill and write 80. Listen. So the master commended the unjust steward because he had dealt shrewdly. Listen, for the sons of this world are more shrewd in their generation than the sons of light. And I say to you, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon, that when you fail, they may receive you into an everlasting home. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much, and he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other." Listen to this. You cannot serve God and mammon. Let's pause, let's pray, and then we'll get into the text. Father, we thank you so much for your word and for this time. These are holy moments. These are not times to wander in our minds, to be thinking about anything other than the words of your Son, Jesus. This is a sobering moment, a challenging moment. Lord, then you spoke to your disciples. However, today you are speaking to your disciples. You're speaking to us. And so, God, help us to consider our lives, our stewardship, in light of your word, and not in light of what we think or feel. In Jesus' name, amen. In order to understand this passage, you have to grasp where Jesus is landing. And where Jesus is landing is on that last line. If you miss this, you miss the point of what Jesus is communicating to disciples. That last line is, you cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon is a word that describes riches, wealth, money. But for disciples, it includes that and even more. But we'll leave it at that for now. And the other things, as far as more, will be covered as we go through these verses once again. You cannot serve God and mammon. So that really turns into this question. Who are you? Who am I serving? That is the question that we must answer. And before we're too quick to say, I'm serving God, of course, we have to consider the fact that Jesus gives us the direction and how to come to the conclusion of who am I serving? He does that in the chapter, and I put it into my own words, but he says it this way. You know who you are serving by how you are stewarding. Your stewarding reveals who you are really serving. So this will be a time of examining ourselves so that we can really understand, are we really serving God? Or, as we'll see, are we more serving ourselves and using the things that God has entrusted us to steward for our own security? Who am I serving? Now, when we talk about stewardship, it's important to understand, what is a steward? Well, a steward is an individual who manages something or many things, but something that belongs to someone else. So the things that the individual manages don't belong to the individual. And so Jesus, he starts with his disciples, and he shares with his disciples this parable. It's been known as the parable of the unfaithful servant. or the unfaithful steward. And there's some immutable truths, things that will not change, that we are confronted with, reminded of, we are taught, because some of us, this will be the first time we're hearing this and we're learning this. Some of us, we need a reminder. Some of us will be confronted because we are stewards, but we're going to come to realize that we've been managing what belongs to God for our own purposes. Now, I want to be clear. We're talking about stewardship, not salvation. There's a big difference. Salvation is given freely by faith in Jesus Christ. Stewardship is how an individual who is in Christ manages what God has entrusted to them. And whether you understand this or not, whether you realize it or not, whether you have taken it serious or not, the way that you steward what God has entrusted to you here on the earth is going to impact your eternity, not your salvation, but whether you will be entrusted with the true riches that are to come. Remember Paul, when he wrote to the Corinthians, he said that one day we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ as believers, not to determine where we'll spend our eternity, but how our eternity with Christ will look. He said we're going to go through a testing. We have to give an account. And there will be wood, hay, and stubble. And there will be silver, gold, precious jewels. Those things that will remain, the testing of fire, if you would, there will be reward. But those things that do not withstand the testing on that day of accountability, where we must give an account as stewards, the wood, hay, and stubble, that will all be burned. And Paul says there will be loss. Not loss of salvation, but there will be loss of reward and what that looks like in eternity. Now you may say to yourself, I'm just happy to get in. So you, if you are happy with that, you are content with the lowest. So when you get there, remember your choice while you're here on the earth. So he gives this parable of the unjust steward or the unfaithful steward. And he says, there was a certain rich man who had a steward. And an accusation was brought to him that this man was wasting his goods. So the immutable truth so far, because we cannot put meaning into every little thing that's said and go beyond what the scriptures teach. So we can't say that the certain rich man was God. We've got to be very careful what kind of value we put to things. Jesus didn't do that. neither will I take the liberty to do that. But when I consider what the Bible teaches in its entirety, we can safely say, I mentioned one immutable truth, and that is all disciples are stewards. I'm a steward, you are a steward. The second truth is that our stewardship one day will come to a point where two things will happen. It will end, and we'll have to give an account. The end is not a bad thing. Neither is giving an account a bad thing. These just are true things. The results will depend on what we do here on the earth with what God has entrusted to us. So for certainty, one day I will stand before God and give an account. And my stewardship here on the earth will come to an end. So now he's teaching his disciples, and he continues and he says, so he, that is the rich man, the steward's master, called the steward. And he said to the steward, what is this I hear about you? Give an account of your stewardship, for you can no longer be steward. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my master is taking the stewardship away from me. I got to give an account. And it's coming to an end. And I cannot dig. I'm ashamed to beg. So what should I do? I'll resolve to do this. Verse 4, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So what this talks to us about is urgency. What this unfaithful steward does is he comes to the realization, because of what is coming, he needs to take things serious for securing his future. And now an urgency is revealed. And so out of urgency, knowing what's coming, he starts preparing for his future. And so, verse 5, he called every one of his master's debtors to him and said to the first one, how much do you owe my master? And he said, 100 measures of oil. So he said to him, take your bill, sit down quickly, and write 50. Then he said to another, and how much do you owe? So he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said to him, take your bill and write 80. Now, Jesus lands on this for the parable. And for Bible students, which we are, and we should be, we always want to follow the landing. This is not the main thought, but this is a part of the bigger teaching. You cannot serve God and mammon. But for the parable, he explains what he means, and that's what we always work with. As a Bible student, you want to always work with what Jesus means and not give value where Jesus or whoever it is that's teaching doesn't give value. So many errors have been circulated through churches throughout history because people don't rightly divide the word of truth. So where does Jesus land? He lands here for the parable. So the master commended the unjust steward. Why? Because he had dealt shrewdly. The unjust steward was using wisdom based on knowing what was coming, and he secured his future. So now Jesus gives us the final point of the parable, and this is where it lands for the disciple. He says, for the sons of this world are more shrewd in their generation than the sons of light. That's the landing pad. Jesus is not showcasing the unjust steward as a model. What he's doing is he's not praising the unjust steward. He is making an observation and a statement to teach the disciples. And he says, the people of this world, in this regard, are wiser than believers. Because believers know so much more, you could say, and yet they don't have the kind of urgency that they should to prepare for what's coming. Steward, there's coming a day of accountability. Steward, one day you're going to give an account. And steward, that day when you give an account is going to impact your eternity. Not your salvation, but whether you will be entrusted with the true riches, if you would, when that time comes. Now, you might say to yourself, what has God entrusted to me? Well, I would answer that question. Young man, young woman, that body that you have, that's not yours. That body that you have, and God created you. You may think to yourself, no, my parents created me. That's the means God used, but without God, you wouldn't even exist. You wouldn't be here. How are you stewarding your body that is a vessel that's been entrusted to you? Are you stewarding it in alignment with God's priorities? Or are you using your body that in reality belongs to God, and you will be given an account of how you use that body for your own purposes. How are you stewarding? And we could say the air we breathe comes from God. The gifts we have come from God. Everything, you can say, bottom line, the source of it all comes from God. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of light. And so, how are you stewarding your example, steward, in the workplace? How are you representing Christ? Can others speak bad of you and say, this steward is wasting the master's goods, so to speak. He's being a bad example. Husband, how are you stewarding your marriage? Wives, how are you stewarding your marriage? Parents, how are you stewarding your children? Grandparents, you see, God's entrusted a lot to us. And before you are questioned, how are you stewarding? I want you to know there's been many hours where I have been sitting at the Lord's feet, and all those questions through the text, the Lord has been also presenting to me. And in addition to that, Pastor, how are you stewarding the ministry that I've entrusted to you? These are sobering things, but they're good. And so, he wants us to be wise. He wants us to recognize we should live with urgency as disciples and stewards, because this time is short. There's going to come a day where we're gone. We're going to stand before him. We know so much, and yet so many believers do not live with urgency in regards to what's coming. And this is not to scare us, but it's to aware us, to wake us up. Even Paul, talking about one day he will stand before the Lord, knowing, he says, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Because that is a sobering and daunting thought. One day, I am going to stand before God and give an account. And not a single one of us can escape that. And I say that like it's scary, but it's just the truth. And it's not to scare, but Jesus himself is teaching this for a reason. Because he wants us as stewards to be wise and to live with that urgency that this is the only time we have to make a difference for Christ. And so he says in verse 9, and I say to you, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon, that when you fail, they may receive you into an everlasting home. And so what he is saying, the things that have been entrusted to you, if we were to just stick with the wealth, the money, the things that God has given to your care to manage, use them in a way that aligns with the priorities of God and invest in other people. And of course, it's not just money, but invest in other people, because the reason why you have been saved is so that you could spend eternity with God. He loves you. That will not change. But how your eternity with God can look different. And I really don't know what that means specifically. I mean, does it mean in the kingdom age I will be pushing a broom in the temple? Or will I be leading worship on the platform? Will I be picking up garbage? I don't know what that means. Or will I be driving the garbage truck? All I do know is these truths are taught. There are rewards. Now, I know we say, well, it's a crown, and we're going to just throw the crown at Jesus' feet, and I get and I understand all these things, but you cannot take away the fact that there will be things in heaven for us to do, and how we are now will determine where we're placed then. And so he is saying there's going to come a day when you're going to fail, when you're going to die. And if you use what God's entrusted to you for his glory and for his kingdom and for the advancement of his kingdom, when you get there, there will be reward. Think of the people who may come to say, hey, I just want you to know, and you may not know this now, but I just want you to know, because you supported this missionary endeavor, I got saved. You played a role in that. Because you went on that walk and you used your time, your resources, your treasure, and you walked around the church 7-8 times. This is not a plug for Walk for Life. This little child was not aborted. And that child grew up to be a follower of Christ. You do not know how your investing now is going to yield great reward in heaven. But he says, use what you have as a steward so that when that time comes and you fail, you're going to be blown away by what is going to be there to greet you. Who and what? He says in verse 10, now talking about faithfulness. So you go from investment, or you could say urgency, investment, and now faithfulness. And he defines who is faithful. Who is a faithful steward? Who is faithful in what is least is also, or is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is also unjust in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful, disciple, in unrighteous mammon, and he's basically using in this context the things of this world and money and the things that God has entrusted you in this world, because this world is temporary. This is temporary. Eternity's coming. And I don't know if you know this. This is going to be a major revelation. Eternity is a long time. And so what he says, what faithfulness looks like, basically, is investing in the kingdom while you have the time. Doing things in alignment with what you are managing, with the priorities of God, and not you managing what belongs to God with your own priorities, your own goal in mind. And he teaches a principle that if a person is unjust or is not faithful now, they won't be faithful. There won't be that reward, because he says, who will commit to you true riches? And if you have not been faithful, verse 12, in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? If I'm not managing what belongs to God now, and this time, how will I be entrusted with greater things in the time that is to come if I don't manage them well now? This is the time to be faithful as stewards. And then the big land. This is the main idea. And Jesus lands here on verse 13. No servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. And what he is saying, basically, if you just simplify this, he's saying, servant, steward, there's no middle ground. There is no middle ground. He uses extreme terms. Love, hate, loyal, despise. So bottom line, when we ask the question, who am I serving? Then we have to evaluate, how are we stewarding? Because how we are stewarding reveals whether we're serving God and using the things that God has entrusted to us in alignment with his priorities, or we're using what God has entrusted to us and using them for our own purposes. And in that sense, we would be serving mammon. We're either serving God or we're serving mammon. Or we're either trusting God and using the things that God has entrusted to us for his purposes, or we're trusting in ourselves and using the things that God has given to us for ourselves. So, disciple, who are you serving? I can't answer that for you. That's a question that we all have to answer for ourselves. And in these final moments, as the team comes forward and we worship the Lord, this is a time for, I guess we could say, self-examination. My hope and prayer is that Jesus' words brought us to that point of considering, who am I really serving? How am I using my finances? How am I managing my vessel? How am I managing my marriage and my family? How am I at the workplace? How am I evaluating the totality of who I am? Am I using all this for me? Is it really about me? Or I am growing in my ability and maturing and using everything that God has entrusted to me and aligning all of these things for his purposes. Let's all stand and let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness and grace and for the word of truth. We pray, God, that you would continue to just cause this word to sit in our hearts until we have a real biblical answer. And God, my hope and prayer is that you continue to help us to be stewards that are faithful. As your word tells us that what is required of a steward is that he be found faithful. And Lord, the he could be a young man, could represent a young woman, a married couple, a family that professes you. Lord, whatever our context, we want to be faithful. And for that, we need